Thank you, Anansha, for being here with me again, I guess after 2 years now. And I wanted to have a very specific conversation around money mindset, around your journey from $400 a month to eventually $10,000 a month income. And how did you go about it? It's been 2, 3 years since you started. Over to you.
Okay, hi Dipanshu. Thank you for having me here. It's my pleasure. So yes, it's my pleasure to be doing this talk. And regarding your question, what exactly do you want to know, the process or the mindset?
Let's cover that one by one. So let's start
Okay.
with what do you think? What's the best part about, making that kind of income?
Okay, so first of all, I want to be clear. When you say 10K per month, I had mentioned it in the post as well. It doesn't happen every month, but on my best months, and I'm very grateful for that. So yeah, what was the question again? How does it feel?
So what's the best thing about making this
Oh,
kind
the
of
best thing. Oh yeah, the best thing is I can, whenever I see something that makes me feel I need to do something about it, I can just spend money and think that how will I cover my expenses. Like I'm in the group of my college, my alma mater ka, IIT Guwahati ka animal care group. So whenever they post images that these two puppies are sick, we need money to help them, or this cat needs operation for neutering, we need money. So I can just donate. I know I'm helping those little animals, and it doesn't, I don't have to calculate that how will I budget, or even if it's like 10K or 20K, I don't have to think that, what is going to happen. So I think that's the best part. Like I can do little things that make the world a better place and also make me feel happy about it. And I don't have to worry about how I will, like pay rent or stuff like that. So I think that's the best part for sure.
Beautiful. And now, when you look back, how do you see your journey like the last 2, 3 years?
The journey has been incredible, and it started with a conversation that you and I had. Like I remember you asked me in 2020 ka December, I guess, or sometime around that like how to make money from writing. And I was like, is it really possible to make money from writing? And it just makes me talk that it has only been 3 years. 3 years is a really short time to think about it. But it has been really good, and I believe that it could have been better if I had planned better. I have come to realize that my superpower is consistency. It's not planning. If I combine planning and consistency, it will be even better. So for the next stage of the journey, I plan to, I hope, like I have written down stuff so that I can plan stuff better and it make it like very intentional. For now, it was like, I just knew one thing, that was writing online, publishing articles online. I just did that. I literally did that. I didn't do anything else. And everything that happened, it happened because of the online writing. So if I was more intentional in setting steps and doing outreach and building other stuff along the way, then that might have been different. So now, from now on, I plan to like be more intentional about it. So I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, so what I'm able to understand from that is, and I've seen a couple of entrepreneurs, like solopreneurs doing it, who don't have a business or marketing background. What they usually do is they focus a little bit too much on the craft and a little less on the business. I believe that's one of the things, like not focusing a lot on the business
Yes.
versus actually, maybe spending a little bit too much on your craft.
Yes, that is true. That more than craft, it's like that this is going to, it's like building a foundation so that when you are I feel that every writer who wants to build a business on their writing, they need a foundation. Based on that, they can build other stuff. So if I have a very strong repository of online articles that are good quality and that rank on Google, that have good views, then I can use that as leverage for other aspects of my business as well. And I feel this was necessary. for first 2 years, 3 years. And now I feel I'm at a stage where I can expand and think more on the business. I don't need to constantly keep publishing stuff because I already have a backlog. And now I can focus on the business aspect as well.
Exactly that part that the beginning stage usually has the most resistance.
Yes, that's very true.
Okay, so my next question, because I remember we worked a little bit on it like 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. Mm-hmm. What money blocks or limiting beliefs you believe were like roadblocks to your growth?
I again didn't get that question. Can you please repeat it again?
Sure, sure. So what kind of limiting beliefs you had, what kind of, you know, past experiences maybe, or money blocks you had that kind of resisted a lot of your initial growth?
Okay, so the money block that I had initially was that, that, you know, it's not possible to make good money by not, you know, overworking yourself or not doing something that's very different from what you do. Or, you know, that I didn't know it's possible to make money by doing what you love. So I didn't know that. So I guess the first step is to believe that you can do it. See a future where you yourself are doing it and then working towards it. That was like an initial mindset shift that helped. And recently I have had this mindset shift as well, that when you grow up, in an Indian middle class family, you have that thing in your head that if you spend money, then you have to think of how to budget that, how to include that in your budget, how to, like, you know, recover that, or what you have to give up to do this, that, something else. So instead of thinking of what you have to give up, I have started focusing on how I can get more money, like create more money to cover this. Or, you know, like if I spend something on something that makes me happy, like a holiday or some experience that adds to my life, like learning a new skill. So I always don't think that, you know, oh, I have to give up this thing to accommodate this. I think that let's think of earning this much more money every month so that I can afford this and I don't have to worry about food or rent or stuff like that. So I guess this was the recent mindset shift, and I'm still working on it. I guess the key to believing in it is like thinking of money as like a constantly flowing thing. If you give it away, it will come back to you. If you just hold on to it, then it's static, so it's not coming to you as well. So if you spend on things that enrich your life or that you want to do, and then it will come back to you. The money you spend will come back to you. Maybe not directly, but in some other way for sure. So I guess believing that it was very hard for me because I grew up with the scarcity mindset. So now I'm still trying to adopt it. It's my eventual goal. I'm like on step 2 maybe of 5 steps.
Beautiful. That's so empowering to know that there is a world beyond the things we believe in.
Yes, that is very true. There is a huge, vast, insanely big world. I recently realized that on my trip as well, that the world is super huge. What we think or the way we live, we believe that this is the only way to live. But there are so many other ways to live. And it doesn't mean that the way you live is bad or that is good. It's just different, and something different might be right for you as well. You might not have yet discovered that it's possible, what is right for you.
Exactly that. And you mentioned about, you know, growing up in a Indian middle class household. One of the most common issues that I, you know, see people having who want to try something new, be it coaching or, you know, any other online thing, especially about women, like sure, but let's talk about this. How do you navigate, you know, those relatives, those friends, those parents and guardians who want just the safest and most secure thing for you, like a little job or something?
Right. And you are very, like, thank you for, you know, making it specific that especially for women, because the world is different for men and women in India, especially because women also have this added responsibility or burden of, you know, like they are taught to always make everyone else around you happy and make everyone else around you your priority and not yourself. So this is like taught to us, ingrained in the in our brain from childhood. So that's why it's a little different for men and women both. But yeah, how to navigate relatives. I think the only thing, or the first biggest and most important thing you need is financial independence. You need to be able to pay your own bills, live a good life, not just, you know, just barely scraping through, but live a good life that your relatives can't say anything. Like if they see you are struggling, then they'll keep saying, oh, you better listen to us and better, you know, get a job or do something that they think is right. So if they see that you are living a good life, then the from what core belief that say is shattered, right? The relatives, they have this core belief that a woman cannot be on her own and be happy or live a comfortable life. That core belief is shattered. So how will they say it? So I have noticed this happening with many distant well-wishers and relatives of mine who earlier on used to keep saying that you have to have a job and a job is so important. But now that they see I'm doing well, they can't really say it anymore. What will they do? Like, they literally can't say you won't make money because they see I'm doing good in my life. So I guess the first important thing is to have financial independence. And the second is to have this mindset shift that maybe the world has told you you don't deserve it, but you actually do. And you might feel that you have to give up a lot to live a certain kind of way, but that is not actually true. The world is abundant. You can have everything. You can have happiness, peace of mind. You can have money. You can have luxuries. You can take vacations. All of it is possible. If you believe it, it's possible. That's the first step. Then the second step is working on something and planning. But the first step is, I guess, this unlocking your mind that there is limit or there is scarcity in this world.
Yeah, brilliantly said. Exactly that. Maybe, you know, starting something secretly, nobody else knows.
Yeah, that's like a superpower. Nobody knows. It's your secret. You're working on it. It's your passion project.
Yeah. And what do you do when people are genuinely, really, you know, worried about you that you're doing this on your own, and like if you started struggling, let's say, how do you navigate that? So I'll tell you a very specific example. I have a couple of clients who has had their partners, their parents, their relatives very much trying to discourage them from doing their own thing. So even when they made a little bit less, you know, in a month, the parents or their guardians, their, you know, partners immediately started, you know, pushing those buttons. How do you navigate a situation like that?
So this has happened with me as well, especially in the initial part of my journey. My parents and some relatives, like not relatives, just parents, that I don't really share anything much with my relatives as such. It's just parents. So yeah, they used to worry because when you are doing something of your own, it is impossible that every month you will have good money, right? It's fluctuating. So there were months when I didn't make much money, like maybe a lot less than the previous month or even half of the previous month. And then my parents used to like keep saying that, oh, it's less. It should increase every month. It should be a growing curve every month. And why is it coming down again? So I used to get very anxious. I think it took me about a year to stop getting anxious because what these people are doing is they're projecting their insecurities or their worries on you. It comes from a place of wanting you to do good. They don't want you to do bad. They want you to earn more and be happy, but they are so worried because they feel that they might not be able to do it. So they think that you also might not be able to do it. So I used to get very anxious at that time, but then later I realized that I need to believe in myself because my parents or my relatives, they don't know what I'm capable of. Or even if everything fails, they don't know what I'll do to, you know, come back on my feet. So our first step is having that self-belief that you can do it and you are going to be able to recover. Even if you have one bad month or 10 bad months, you know, you're building something and eventually it's going to pay off. So that patience that strength has to come from within. It cannot come from anybody else, because nobody else is going to help you in this. You are alone in this journey, and literally nobody in this world can understand what you're going through. Only you can, not your partner, not your parents. And the second step is to not tell. Like, I have stopped telling my parents. If they ask me how much you make, even if I have a bad month, I say, oh, very good, it's really good, and stuff like that. And I just not share it, because it's not important. They don't have to know it. What they need to know is I'm doing good, which I am, or I will, even if I'm not currently. I believe in me. So they don't need to know it. So I have stopped sharing it. And if they keep asking me, I have clearly drawn boundaries that don't ask me. I know it's not possible to share every month, but just believe in me. If something goes seriously wrong, I'll definitely tell you, I'll ask for help. But right now, I believe in myself. I need some time to, you know, focus on this and whatever. So they have stopped asking me. They just ask me other stuff like, are you doing good? Is everything okay? Not the specifics, like how much you made this month, or what are your expenses and income and stuff like that. And one more thing I feel is, when you have good months, it is important to save so much and have good investments that you are also having a cushion on yourself. Like, you have an emergency fund, and if something goes wrong, you have liquid cash to take care of it. And you have some stuff that is frozen, that if you need some big investment, like buying a house or car or anything like that, you can rely on it. And if you want to go on vacation or take long breaks, then you don't have to worry about earning every month. So I feel these three things are like super important to stop having insecurities yourself, and stop letting other people's insecurities affect you.
Thank you so much, Anansha, for sharing very practical tips and recommendations. I'm so glad we had this conversation. Thank you so very much for doing this.
I'm happy to share and happy to talk to you always.
Thank you. Everyone who's watching this, I'm going to put Anansha's one or two links in the description. If you want to learn more about writing, about growing your writing business, about Medium, about LinkedIn, or just how to navigate life, growing self as a woman, maybe. Yeah. Have a conversation with Anansha. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Dipanshu. Thank you, everyone watching.